We are living in a morally corrupt, greedy, perverse, and dishonoring culture. I see most of you doing the head bob. It was not always this way. But our culture and most cultures in the world have become increasingly antichrist in their distinguishing characteristics over the past 70 years. That's my lifetime. However, the kingdom of God is a culture of honor. I'm pro-choice and proud of it. Love is a choice. I have to choose to love. I don't have to like, I have to love. Forgiveness is a choice. I have to choose to forgive because if I don't, the Word of God says I won't be forgiven. I'm the one held in bondage if I choose not to forgive. And honor is a choice. I have to choose whether I'm going to release honor, whether I'm going to give honor, or whether I'm going to withhold honor. Do you know a blessing withheld is a curse? Bless and do not curse. If I fail to bless, I've opened the space in someone's life for the enemy to bring a curse. And they, most people, will listen to it. When most people read Romans chapter 12, they stop after verse 2 and miss the fullness of what Paul was saying to the believers in Rome. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. This is from the Message. Take your everyday, ordinary life, sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. This is what we did tonight during worship. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Do not be overcome. Do not become so well-adjusted to your culture you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Most of us stop there. It's good instructions for life. Paul exhorts all believers to be transformed by the renewing of their mind. That's what most translations say in Romans 12:2. But there is a purpose for your transformation. Not so you can get into heaven. It's so you can become mature, fruit-bearing, kingdom-expanding children of God. He has a purpose for you. Jesus said it this way, the harvest is white. It's actually rotting when it gets white. But the laborers are few. Only mature children of God can be a laborer. He wants each of us to be a laborer. You may lead one person to the Lord. Imagine the little 12-year-old girl who led Chung Yi Cho to the Lord. And millions came to the Lord through him. It's not a matter of our chronological age. It's a matter of, is our heart, which is what we were singing about, truly in His hand. I love it because I didn't know what they were singing and they didn't know what I was speaking about. We are very familiar with the gifts of the Spirit found in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11, and the gifts of the Son found in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. In Romans 12, 3 through 6, Paul talks about the redemptive gifts of the Father. Every person in creation, believer or pre-believer, has at least one of these gifts. Because Father's DNA, when he took the clay and molded it, and when he kissed breath into Adam, his DNA is in every believer. So one of these gifts mentioned here, the redemptive gifts, is in every person who's ever walked the earth. We need to sanctify them. That's our job when we come to Christ. As believers, we are expected to move in the gifts of the Father, the gifts of the Spirit, and the gifts of the Son, which they have placed in us to expand the kingdom of God. These gifts aren't so we feel good or we feel good in a service. These gifts are to touch the world. Can you imagine if the Lord dropped a word of knowledge in you for your boss? I'll give you an example. He wasn't my boss, but he was the head physician at a hospital in Alabama. Very educated man, elder in the church. And the Lord read his mail, including telling him he needed to romance his wife of 25 years. And he wept and wanted to know how I knew that. I didn't know it. The same as Lisa didn't know the words she just gave. Holy Spirit gave them. Can you imagine you're talking to your boss and he drops a word of knowledge into you? And you share it politely, not with a thus saith the Lord. That's a sure way to turn the world off. First, get them in the boat before you try cleaning the fish. We are supposed to expand the kingdom of God on the earth and honor him with the gifts he's placed in us. I have taught on the gifts before, so I'm not going to go into it tonight. I asked you this earlier, is Christ living in you? I'm glad four or five people have Christ living in them. Is Christ living in you?
Yes.
If so, Paul goes on to describe what people should see in you. They should see it in me. They should see it in every believer. In Romans 12, verses 9 through 21, Paul tells us the characteristics of Christians. This is what we are supposed to look like. I've chosen the New International Version tonight because it's what I memorized 37 years ago. So I could speak it over the places I worked and lived in and the places I traveled to around the world. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. You know, that's one of the hardest ones for most believers, being faithful in prayer. You know what prayer is? It's a conversation with your Creator. We should freely embrace it and enjoy doing it. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. I am blessed with one of the great hospitality workers. As my bride. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. If the slide isn't keeping up with what I'm saying, give me a signal back there. Okay, after all, that's where the computer is. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. This is hard for us Germans. But German is a culture subservient to the kingdom. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. It's my responsibility to have peace in my relationships. Did you know that? It's your responsibility to have peace in your relationships. If someone doesn't want to have peace, the scripture that comes to my mind is shake the dust off your feet when you leave. Don't release a curse. Live at peace. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. This is where we were in the pre-service prayer and worship. The Lord is releasing his judgment, his vengeance on evil. You notice I didn't say people. If people choose to cling to evil, pray for them. There are some people, Father will say, don't pray for. But he desires none perish, but all would bow their knee and come to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He is bringing his avenging judgment on evil. It's here now. It's coming. We're going to see it in our year ahead. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. This was a blessing in Old Testament times. Go back. To carry someone coals was a blessing, hot coals. Not ashes, so that they could have a fire to warm themselves. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We have the choice. We can move in the ways of the culture we live in, which is predicated upon evil, or we can move in the ways of the kingdom, which our nation was founded in, and is drifted. Tonight we're going to concentrate on one of these verses in one word in this verse. Romans 12:10, be devoted to one another in love, honor one another above yourselves. This is the choice we have, honoring one another above ourselves. Romans 12:10 in the Amplified reads, love one another with brotherly affections as members of one family, giving precedence and showing honor to one another. We are all members of one family, locally here and worldwide. There is only one bride Jesus is coming back for. He's not coming back for a denomination. He's not coming back for a schizo bride. He's coming back for one whole, pure bride. For those of you who are new to Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship, you may not have heard people say, this does not feel like church. There may be three clear and purposeful reasons for this. One, we actively steward the presence of Holy Spirit. We value Holy Spirit in everything we do. Our Bible studies, the youth in youth church, our pre-service time, our worship time. When Holy Spirit moves, we want to go where he goes. Yes, we will go where he goes. If the river moves, we're not staying in the old place. Why? Number two, we trample on the religious spirit. Some of you have seen me drop kick him in services before. We want no part of the religiosity and rigidness of religion. That's how Holy Spirit gets quenched, when the ways of man become greater than the ways of God. And number three, our mission description of who we are. It's found in the bulletin every week. Shepherd's Heart Christian Fellowship is an apostolic and prophetic family of believers who gather to worship God and receive equipping, impartation, and anointing to be released in order to fulfill our call and destiny in Christ Jesus, enabling each of us to boldly declare the kingdom of God at hand and compassionately meet the felt needs of those around us in our spheres of influence. That doesn't mean in the house. It means wherever you go. Some of you, especially the widows and the single moms, were blessed greatly last week by the body of Christ coming together from Pennsylvania to do something for you. Did it feel good? They did what we say we are about. Your sphere of influence is wherever the Lord has given you authority to tread. We won't get into that, but we all have spheres. Romans 12:10 in the New American Standard reads, "Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to another in honor." In other words, I have to choose to give you space and give you place. Jesus did. He took your place on the cross so you could have a place with the Father. That's honor. And he expects us to do that one to another. The Passion Translation of Romans 12:10 reads, "Be devoted to tenderly loving your fellow believers as members of one family." We wrote our mission before the Passion Translation was ever thought of. "Try to outdo yourselves to respect and honor one another." Can you see us stumbling over ourselves to make sure someone's honored? I want to take a moment to honor Mr. and Mrs. Tom and Patty McDonough. This is the first service anywhere they've attended since they got married last Sunday afternoon. I think that's deserving honor. That they would shorten their honeymoon to be at a service. Yes, their honeymoon was almost over. Let me tell you something. 48 years from now, it won't be over. Honor. There are 14 Hebrew and 7 Greek words translated 153 times in the Bible as honor. Holy Spirit had Paul use the Greek word timē in Romans 12:10. This Greek word is used 28 times as honor and is the most used Greek word for honor in the New Testament, so it tells us something we need to know about honor. Timē means a value, or money paid, or valuables. By analogy, it means esteem, especially to the highest degree. The dignity itself, honor, something precious. This is the word used when Paul was exhorting us in Romans 12. The second most used Greek word for honor is timēo. It means to prize, to fix, valuation upon, and by implication, to revere, honor, or value. The two most used Greek words, 44 out of the 54 times honor is used in the New Testament, these two words are used. Timē or timēo. It's the only Greek word the Holy Spirit chose to use in expressing how we are to honor one another above ourselves. I'm going to paraphrase the Amplified version of Romans 12:10. "Love one another with brotherly affection as members of one family, given precedence and showing dignity, esteem, and value, treating one another with reverence as a son or daughter of God." When I look at you, I shouldn't be seeing someone clothed in rich garments or rags. I should be seeing a daughter or a son of the Most High. If you want to defeat the spirit of lust, start looking at guys as sons and at women as daughters. Stop looking at them as objects. That's the culture of darkness. Stop looking at them as something to be attained. That's the culture of darkness. Look at them as someone who Father wants seated with Him in Christ in heavenly places. This is honor. Let's get deeper into understanding of the word honor in the Word of God to see how Holy Spirit uses the Greek words in the Old Testament to display Father's heart toward this kingdom. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of honor. There are two Hebrew words used 54 of the 79 times translated as the English word honor in the New American Standard translation of the Old Testament. The most often Hebrew word used is the first one translated as honor in the King James Version. So it carries additional significance in our understanding of honor in the kingdom because it has the law of first use. That word is kabod. It means a weight. Figuratively, in a good sense, it means splendor, or copiousness, glorious, glory, and honor. The word used for honor the most in the Old Testament is tied to glory. This word is derived from the second most used Hebrew word translated as honor, and this word is kabad or kabed, depending on where the accent is. It's a primitive root word, which means to be heavy. In a good sense, numerous, rich, and honorable. To make weighty, glorify or make glorious, glory. Bring to, come to, do, get, be had in honor, be honorable, promote to honor, be rich. Most often these two words are used to describe the glory of God. So we see inherent in this concept of honor is the glory of the one who created all things. Why do we express honor? Because we want to dwell in the glory of the Lord. When I honor you or you honor someone, the glory of the Lord can rest in and through you. I'm going to expand this definition in the Amplified Bible. Regard, treat with heavy, glorious honor, due obedience and courtesy your father and mother, so your days may be prolonged in the land the Lord gives you. How do you like that definition of Exodus 12, honor your father and mother? It's the first commandment with a promise. But what he was saying is, if you will honor them, that doesn't mean I always have to agree with their wrong choices, the same as my kids don't have to agree with my wrong choices, but I have to honor them. Then the glorious weight of the Lord can be in that relationship, and I can enjoy. How many of you want to enjoy life? How many of you want to enjoy long life? I want to be around to see my great-great-grandchildren. It's biblical. Hey, if there were 11 generations in Adam's day on the earth, why can't there be 5 in my day? So why do we choose to lower ourselves to the cultures of the world and dishonor our brothers and sisters in Christ? Could it be we live by the flesh and soul and not by the Spirit of God who lives in us? 3 years ago, at the end of this month, I said, we're entering into the pay decade. If you cannot, which is the decade of the face, the decade of the mouth, if you cannot say something good, zip it. Sometimes being quiet and exercising self-control is an expression of honor. Because you didn't regurgitate what you really wanted to say. I think you know where I was going with that. Isaiah may have well been seeing our day when the Lord had him prophesy this out of Isaiah 3, 4, and 5. And I will make boys their princes with childishness. They shall rule over them with outrage instead of justice. The people shall be oppressed, each one by another and each one by his neighbor. The child shall behave himself proudly and with insolence against the old man and the lowborn against the honorable person of rank. Does that sound like our culture? You can't turn on the TV without seeing that. What Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 6, 1 through 4 applies to both our natural and our spiritual children. Children, do what your parents tell you. This is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment, which is promise, has a promise attached to it. Namely, you shall live well and have a long life. Fathers, do not exasperate your children by coming down hard on them. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way to the master. The Message translation really talks about how we father and mother our children. We need to honor them as we are rearing them. So we instill in them the kingdom culture of honor, so they begin to honor others around them. Do you know honor is a two-way street? We reap what we sow. Sow honor, harvest a generation of honor. To sow honor, we must walk in the fruit of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Especially self-control. The disculture we live in is so quick to tear apart. One of the greatest things the Lord did in me was take my extremely quick wit, which could tear someone apart in an instant, and humble it. Four years later, three prophets said, the Lord has given me a quick spirit. I'd rather have his quick spirit than any quick wit of the world. Because it was ugly. I have to call those words back, put them under the blood of the cross, so they're not out there for the enemy to use or people to get tripped up on. Idolatry is the number one impediment to giving honor. When we choose our way over God's way and over God's word, we walk in idolatry. That's how simple idolatry is. In fact, our nation and many other nations on earth today are walking in rampant idolatry. But this is another message for another time. Don't fall into idolatry, because it will keep you from giving honor to whom honor is due. 1 Samuel 15, 22 through 23 in the Message reads, then Samuel said, do you think all God wants are sacrifices? Empty rituals just for show? That's what the religious spirit does in most worship places, song services. We want Holy Spirit to come and steer the meeting and stir up the heart and spirit. He wants you to listen to him. Plain listening is the thing, not staging a lavish religious production. Not doing what God tells you is far worse than fooling around in the occult. Take that to heart. Disobedience to the word the Lord speaks to you is worse than dabbling in the occult. I'm glad we stayed here 36 and a half years ago when he said stay. Because the occult will consume and rob you. Getting self-important around God is far worse than making deals with your dead ancestors. We oversee some works on the island of Borneo. East Malaysia is the nation. And the Chinese in particular do it. They worship the dead ancestors. It's idolatry. But God says getting self-important around him is worse than that. In other words, my arrogance against anyone is worse than the idolatry of worshiping the dead. Because you said no to God's command, he says no to your kingship. This happened to Saul. But as the word was released tonight, as we said in communion, you are all kings. No gender, you are all kings. And when we fail to honor God and put our way above his, he says no to your kingship. Do you want to see miracles, which is what we were singing at the time? Do you want to see him move and do what he does, which is what we were singing? Then we need to learn to honor. We need to honor him. We need to honor his sons and daughters who are our brothers and sisters. Many of you know when our youngest grandson was not quite five, he was like 4 and 10 months, he called me up, actually his dad did, at 10 minutes to 10 one night, which he said, hang on a minute, Dad, and put Philip on the phone. So I knew it had to be important. He said, hey, Grandpa. And I said, what, Philip? He said, I just asked Jesus to be my Lord. And I said, oh, yes. And we talked for a few minutes. And I said, hey, Philip, you know what? He said, what, Grandpa? I said, you're my brother. Daddy, Grandpa just said I'm his brother. Father has no grandchildren. He only has sons and daughters. And we need to honor each generation in the Lord, which is why we pray over the young ones. Because their destiny, connected with ours, connected with the great cloud of witnesses, brings the presence of the Lord into the earth realm. How many of you want more of Jesus? Matthew 6:10, Jesus speaking, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. If you pray the way Jesus taught us to pray and expect him to answer you, you must begin to live and walk in a culture of honor. Because these prayers don't work unless we honor those around us. Humble yourselves and come up higher to live in the realm with Christ from the heavenly places. You see that in Ephesians 2:6. And as Paul told the Roman believers in Romans 13:7-8, render to all what is due them, honor to whom honor. You are all due honor. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Do you want to fulfill the law? Honor and love. Both of them are choices. God won't make you honor. God won't make you love. God won't make you forgive. The culture of the kingdom of God is a culture of honor. Remember, honor is a choice. We are woefully deficient as the bride of Christ in honor. Woefully. We speak against every denomination. We speak against every other house that worships with their left hand and not their right, or with both hands at the same time. And sometimes they even jump off the floor. Some of them roll down the aisles and we dishonor them. Some of them let women teach. Some of them forbid women to teach and we dishonor them. Father is watching me and his bride. That means all of us. To see if we will honor. It is so easy to cast a stone. That's dissing. But I don't throw stones, but my tongue is a wretched vehicle of dishonor. I ask you all to forgive me for the times when I spoke something either in your hearing or in your absence which did not honor Jesus, Father, Holy Spirit, or your brothers and sisters. I'm released. I'd like to pray a prayer of release over you. Father, forgive us for embracing the culture of the United States of America, New York State, Monroe County, Rochester, the town of Greece, or wherever we live. Forgive us for embracing the ways of man and placing them higher than your ways. Lord, you said your ways are higher than ours and your thoughts are higher than ours, and you said we should honor one another above ourselves. Forgive us, Lord, for we have failed. I thank you, Lord, your mercies are new every morning, and you said the evening was the start of the new day, so as we begin Elul 8, I say, Lord, in this new morning, let us have your mercy, your extravagant mercy, your mercy unlimited, so we may choose to honor one another above ourselves. Lord, I ask you to make this house, this family of believers, a place of honor. A place where you are honored and where we choose to honor one another, even when we must correct someone in their error. Lord, we choose to honor your DNA, even in the pre-believers. We choose to honor our brothers and sisters. We choose to honor you who dwells richly in us. Lord, we thank you. You taught us to honor, and you brought us to a place where we will learn how to honor you, to love and to forgive. So you can use us and the generations of our lineages for your greater glory. Lord, your word says, honor one another above yourself. I choose now to honor my brothers and sisters as being faithful men and women called by your name, filled with your spirit, cleansed by your blood, and walking to fulfill your destiny in their lives. Lord, I say, bless them. Bless them as they lay down to sleep. Give them dreams and visions in the night so they see your kingdom culture and how to bring it to the places which have been defiled by the culture of the world, the flesh, and darkness. Lord, I bless your sons and daughters, and I send them to prosper and be in health, even as their souls prosper. In Jesus' name.